Welcome back, everybody. Today I have Jacqueline. Oh, how do I say your last name?
Goner.
Goner. Okay. Yeah. Today I have Jacqueline Goner with me.
Hi.
You might recognize Jacqueline from being the winner of Sci-Fi's Cosplay Melee, costumer, a cosplayer, and most recently, super viral for your Witchblade costume San Diego Comic-Con. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. I'm so excited to talk to you about cosplay and crafting and everything.
Well, you know I'm a big fan of yours, so I'm excited to be here.
I'm a big fan of yours. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I want to talk about your cosplay journey. I know that we all get the same sort of cosplay questions. What was your first cosplay? What got you started? And stuff like that. But when you were growing up, what super nerdy things were you into that kind of got you like that got the bug started into like cosplay crafting nerddom, if you will?
I'm going to say Zelda, Legend of Zelda. It's no big surprise that I'm a big Zelda fan. Mm-hmm. Since I was really little, like 2 or 3 years old, I played one of the first Zelda games. It was not actually wasn't the first Zelda game. It was Legend of Zelda 2, Adventure of Link. And that got me really hooked into like, oh my God, there's a princess and then there's this guy, his name's Link, and he's, you know, trying to save the princess. And it was like as a kid, it was such a fun adventure for me. And I even thought like, wouldn't it be cool to like dress up as Zelda? Mm-hmm. For Halloween or something. And I remember I did, like when I was really, really little. There's no photos of it though. But my mom insists that I dressed up as a princess because of Zelda. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, my love for Zelda is what got me into cosplay. Because eventually later, I got more into Zelda and heard about what cosplay was and, you know.
And it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
As a cosplayer, is there like a type of crafter you would consider yourself specifically, like something that you're really, really good at, or is it kind of like a little bit of everything?
I would say a lot of bit of everything. I think like cosplayers don't give themselves enough credit.
That's true.
Like starting off, like you're making something from nothing and you curate it into what you want it to be like for yourself. And that is an amazing thing. And you don't realize how many skills you learn along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when people say, oh, it's a little bit of everything, I'm like, no, it's a lot of bit of everything. You're gaining experience. Give yourself some more credit. No, but I do a lot of sewing, leather working, foam smithing, armor making in general, just across the board, sculpting, like there's just a lot.
There's so much.
You couldn't sell, like for most cosplayers, you can't just say like, oh, I can do this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the addiction right there. You want to learn more.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It is fun. And you get new skill sets every time you make a new costume, challenge yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there one part of crafting that you like the best?
I don't know if there's one part of crafting that I like the best, probably because I hate starting, believe it or not.
Yeah, I get that.
I like planning, that's fine. I'll plan. ADHD right here. I would like plan and make a whole build book, you know, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And then I don't do it. Never goes the way I plan.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably there's a certain threshold with every single costume where it's like, wow, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it like really taking off. And usually it's right around the 2/3 to the maybe 80% mark. And between that area, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be so great. And I'm super pumped up. And then the last 5% is just like, I hate this costume.
Yes.
I fucking want it done. I just don't want to look at it anymore. And then you wear it and then it's all fine. It's so freaking weird.
That is exactly, you have encompassed the cosplay life cycle perfectly.
The circle of life building.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. Every time I'm like, oh no, the deadline is tomorrow and I can't finish it the way that I want to. I hate this costume.
Oh, and with everything coming out, and I like, oh my God, like Marvel Rivals, damn you.
Yes.
Coming out with something new every couple weeks, sometimes every other week or every week or whatever. And then it's like, well, I want to do that now. And then shiny something else. And then it's like, well, I want to do that now. And I don't know how Jessica Negri does it. She does it fantastically. I applaud her. But holy cow, that is my anxiety. I still haven't even worked on my Emma Frost.
Neither have I. That's so funny. I also have like six half done things all from the past year where I started builds and then something came up and then something else came up and then now I have all these things. But I have like a beautiful Emma Frost wig that I had commissioned that I just haven't gotten to wear because I have no costume.
And you would like, you would be the perfect Emma Frost too.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. So would you. You're going to crush it as well.
One day we will.
One day we'll be Emma Frost together, hand in hand. Yes. That's so funny. Yeah. Well, as far as getting started in cosplay, you loved Legend of Zelda. How did you dressing up as a princess and starting to do cosplay become a job for you?
You know, it's funny. I started making costumes for other people first.
Oh, really?
And that was its own learning curve because with yourself, you can, you have yourself there always. You're around yourself the most. So you can always try things on. You can always experiment with other people. Not so much. You might have their measurements and then you can have fittings. But there are still things that can probably go awry or they might change their mind about things or they might not like something as well as they thought they would like. And that is a challenge in itself, working with other people, making for them. So that is technically where I started it becoming more of a professional career, was making costumes for others. And then also making props and stuff for other people. But I generally stick to costumes because it's just, I do enjoy sewing a lot. But it is, it does, it is a long time and not a lot of people appreciate that. Well, my clients do. They love, love, and I'm super thankful of you guys. Oh my gosh. But cosplaying as a like professional cosplayer, like for my own self, I would probably say when back in 2012, my Witchblade went viral for the first time. It was the first time I made Witchblade and I wore her for Dragon Con. And I was on this forum called the RPF.
And I remember RPF.
Remember RPF? Yes. Oh my gosh. So old. Oh, so old. I feel old.
I feel old too. No,
let's be old hags together. It'd be great. But I just made an announcement like, oh, it's 3 days before Dragon Con, I'm going to make a Witchblade costume. And I did. And people were like, oh, you're not going to do that. Yeah. Like, who's... People do that all the time. And I actually did it. And then she went viral. And since then, I was being flown out to conventions. I was being paid to show up to events and things like that. That was probably like my first professional. And it, there was no roadmap, none whatsoever. And you learn a lot. You learn a lot and you make mistakes and, you know, you hope for the best. Yeah. That was my first experience with that.
Yeah, especially before cosplay, when cosplay was so new, I think it's just now kind of starting to people like mainstream people will recognize it, like at a doctor's office or something.
People actually recognize the word cosplay because it's like even 10 years ago, it was still a taboo thing.
Exactly.
I've been doing this since like. early 2000s, 2001, where you didn't admit you were a cosplayer because they didn't know what it was. And they would look at you kind of weird. And so you go to a Joanne's, rest in peace.
no.
And you would just, they would ask you like, oh, what's this for? And I would always tell them it's curtains. Curtains, I'm just making curtains. That's why I need a lot of this fabric.
That's so funny. Yeah, I, for a long time, in the very, very beginning when I first started, which... was around, I'd say 2013, 2014.
Yeah, you've been around a long time yourself.
Yeah. Every time somebody would ask me what I did, I would say that I was a costume designer because it was just the easiest way to explain it. Like my neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
I never got into what that was or how it related to anything, but yeah. Like, I just make costumes.
I just make costumes.
Two thumbs way up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't judge me. I'm very fragile. I'm gentle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's wild how people have shifted their opinions on cosplay. Because even still, some people are kind of using the word cosplay as in kind of a negative antidote where they will say like, oh, so-and-so is cosplaying this, you know, like not a character, but they're just saying like, oh, they're cosplaying a doctor because they think they're so knowledgeable of medical, whatever. And, you know, whatever, it's a word, but I've noticed that being thrown around a lot. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting how the word cosplay has evolved.
Yeah,
or maybe devolved. I don't know.
Who knows? It is.
Just
it's
have
kind
fun.
Of, it's kind of just expanding, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with popularity comes both positivity and negativity, but it's really cool that you got propelled forward from a costume at Dragon Con. Yeah. That's awesome. That's where it all began.
Yeah. I also got a lot of attention. So I worked with Smosh for a while, and I was their Princess Zelda for the Zelda rap video and the Smash Brothers rap video and a bunch of other stuff that I've done with them. And I got a lot of attention from that, too. But I would say Witchblade was the one where it really catapulted me forward and was just like, whoa, this is weird. This is different. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to this kind of attention. It was wild.
Mm-hmm. So you started doing like boothing and getting flown out to do cons and stuff like that before a lot of people knew what that was or how that worked. How was that experience and like learning?
You know, it's funny. Shortly before that started becoming a thing, it was really looked down upon if you sold prints.
Right.
Or if you had like a website. There were a couple of cosplayers like that have been around longer than me, and they had websites, they had prints, and people were giving them all kinds of shit. And it's like, you know, let them make their money. They're making costumes, and they did. They made their own costumes. It costs a lot of money, and that's what it was really going towards. But there were people who just hated that and really like could not stand those people. So going into that, it was still kind of like the early years of boothing, and it was kind of like, oh, I don't want to step on any toes. I don't want to, you know, it was like I was constantly nervous. Didn't want to make anybody mad at me. I don't think anyone wants to make anyone mad or anything.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot. I'm that type of person as well.
No, you're so sweet. Like, I don't know, like you and Gracie, I don't know anyone who would be mad at you. Like, you guys are always the sweetest and kindest girls.
Thank you. I just had Gracie on as well, actually.
Yeah, I saw the interview. I was like, oh, Gracie, I love you, my sweet girl.
Yeah, it was fun. I had never talked to her that long, like, in person before. Similarly to many of the guests, because cons, they're so hectic and chaotic. And
we have schedules and everything.
Yeah, you're disassociating in your wig. You got to take pictures. You got to make sure you get content. And you're trying to say hi to everybody. So
it's
nice to be able to sit down and actually talk to people. But Gracie, I love so much. It was so nice.
I know. She really is
a sweetheart.
We could talk this entire hour about Gracie.
Gracie. We're so Gracie easily. Fans.
We're big fans.
Yeah. Huge fans. Big fans. So I think people will be very interested. That is something that I knew, but I don't think a lot of people know, that back in the day, selling merchandise at your booth as a cosplayer was actually
taboo
and kind of looked down upon.
Didn't want to do that. Now everybody does it. And I'm very happy that everybody does this too, because like if you have merch, just sell it. It's fine. You got to support your hobby. You got to support yourself. Like, it pays for your hotel. It pays for your flights. It pays for your living expenses, your food, the clothes on your back, the costumes that you wear. Like, if there's any amount of money that you can get it. Just do it. It's fine.
Yeah. And cosplay as a hobby is extremely expensive.
Oh my God.
And people don't even realize how expensive each little thing is and how much all of those things add up, because you're not just buying the costume, you're buying all of the tools to create different pieces of the costume that all require these different tools.
And God forbid you like screw anything up and then you got to start over again.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not fun.
Right. And even the tools that you're buying, like paints or airbrushes or something like that, you have these different degrees of how well they work. You know, sewing machines, you can buy a small, cheap sewing machine, or you could buy spend thousands of dollars on a sewing machine, and they will do different and important things.
It's so funny, like, because you obviously do gaming. Like, when you are building a character and you're getting more mana or whatever, like more experience points, and you're just building up the skills like in different areas, that's kind of what you're doing in cosplay. Because it's like, oh, I have a level 1 sewing machine. And then you boost it up to like a level 4 sewing machine. And then you're like, oh, well, if I combine like embroidery and sewing machine, I can go to like a level 10 embroidery sewing machine. And then it's like, and then you're like totally tricked out and everything as a cosplayer. But like, that's all it is. It's gaming. It's,
yeah.
That's all it is.
I agree. It's, we're all expanding our character sheet little by little.
I love it.
You said earlier that you worked for Smosh. You also worked in the costume departments for Star Trek Continues and The Curse of Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
As well. How was that experience like? Because that's a much more, I'd say, professional environment than like a convention or making costumes for some friends or anything like that.
Yeah, like working in the film industry, it's a lot of fun. It's funny because in the film industry, I never really tell anybody that I'm a cosplayer because some people will look down.
I've heard that from that. Other costumers as well.
Yeah, and it sucks because I am a professional. I always show up on time. I do my work. I don't argue back. I fabricate. I do it all. Like, it's, I try to continuously give our name a good rep, but they don't see cosplayers on the same level. And that's too bad. Like, I've hired cosplayers. I've done costume designing gigs. I've done wardrobe styling gigs where I will hire a crew under me, and I've hired cosplayers, and they're out of everybody that I've hired, there was only one that I would never hire again. She was a very bad experience. And it was mostly because she thought she could do a lot more than she could and didn't communicate that. And so that was that was a very unfortunate experience. But for the most part, cosplayers that I've hired have been wonderful. They're eager to learn. They're eager to please and make sure that they do well at their job. And that's so rare to find in, you know, in a work ethic. So so please hire cosplayers. Please do that. But working for Smosh, I actually worked for them as an actress. And a couple times I provided some costumes for them. Like, I made the Ganondorf and Link costumes, as well as my own costume for the anything Zelda related. And then it was the Assassin's Creed wrap that I made his costume for him. So, and then I made a couple, like one or two Pokemon costumes. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. They're great people. Can't love them enough. And then Star Trek Continues. That was a blip. But Curse of Sleeping Beauty, that I had worked on with a friend. Unfortunately, he passed away pretty recently. He was the director of it, Perry Teo. He's was a very, very talented director and visionary. And he reimagined The Curse of Sleeping, or the Sleeping Beauty fairy tale, as a horror story. Ethan Peck stars in it before he was on Star Trek. So that was really, really cool. Same with Madeline Petch from Riverdale. It's like, and they're all wonderful, down-to-earth people. They're just human like you and me, and it's so sweet. But working on a professional sense on set, there's a lot of chaos, and then there's a lot of calm, and then there's a lot of everything else in between. And you just kind of get used to it. You just have to roll with it. You have to have really thick skin. You have to be ready for anything. But yeah, working on the professional sense, it's a lot of fun. It's just too bad we're not getting as much work here in Southern California like we used to. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Is that mostly because of the COVID transition?
So, there was a COVID transition. There was also the writer's strike. There was a bunch of strikes that kind of that needed to, like, we had contracts that needed to be negotiated. That was very important. Mm-hmm. And then there was movement leaving Los Angeles and going to either Georgia or London or just elsewhere or to China. And that happens. And it's unfortunate for us. We do hope that it comes back. Mm-hmm. But we shall see. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. That would be great. I did hear about Marvel, I think, going to the UK.
Yeah.
And some other things.
Yeah. It's too bad. But, I mean, I'm glad there's still work being out there, that it's not just being, you know, all CGI and everything. Like, we love practical effects. Mm-hmm. That's what we all love. And anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I hope it does, too. I think that with the rise of TikTok and Instagram Reels and all of the video content creators.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like there is more work in that space as well as the movie industry. Mm-hmm. Like people putting on their own productions and hiring like crews and stuff like that.
YouTube has been doing phenomenal work in that. Yeah. And they've been doing that for a very long time. I actually credit Smosh for really upping that kind of game because, like, I've started working with them back in 2010 or something, 2010, 2011, one of those two. And, you know, YouTube had only been around for like 5 or 6 years at that point. They had not been around long. And it was always people that were just filming themselves and putting it up online. And I would argue Smosh was one of the earlier channels, bigger channels, to really utilize a film crew. Mm-hmm. And they were very professional about it. They're great. And, you know, now it would be weird to go on a major YouTube channel and not see a, you know, and not see a film crew around. So it's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild, isn't it?
I love it. I love it, though.
It's crazy what the internet did.
Yeah, well, it made
everything.
It made it way more accessible. Mm-hmm. People can be more openly creative. You don't have to worry about studios. Like, to this day, you still don't have to. The only downside, though, is that it's so hard to grow on such a big platform that's been so long established. Mm-hmm. It sucks. But you could still be creative. You could still put your stuff out there and some things just will just happen, and it's great when they do.
It's a blessing and a curse, right?
Oh yeah.
So when you said that you first started making costumes for other people, do you still do a lot of commissions for other creators and professional sets?
Yeah, I do. I just recently started to take a break because I was having a couple health issues. And so I was trying to navigate. And this, of course, I take a break at the worst possible time for anybody who does commissions. Like, Halloween is like where I get most of my money out of the entire year. Because I've done costumes for celebrities, and that's always really, really good money. But I had to take a break for a little while, and I do plan on coming back, but it is nice to not have anything on the docket and just worry about your own stuff. And I'm not even making costumes for myself on this break. I'm just like cleaning my shop. I'm organizing things. I'm doing inventory of my materials and my tools.
That sounds incredible.
It's awesome, but it's also overwhelming because I have too much stuff, and I'm realizing, wow, I bought like 5 or 6 of the same tool. I don't need all these. I just need one.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and then when Joanne's closed, it was just like, let's buy all of this and not go through it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's great. It's great being a cosplayer.
It really is. It's wild how much stuff you accumulate. And because we are just one person with all of these materials, And it's very difficult to do inventory and storage and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. You can't find often the thing that you're looking for when you need it. And you end up just having to buy another one really quick so that you can get the thing done. And then when you do go through everything, you're like, oh, I have like five pliers. Yeah. The exact same pliers.
I literally bought a pack of 12 pliers. And I bought it like 2 or 3 months ago. And I can only find five of them. And I'm like, where did the other seven go? What happened? My shop is magical.
Yeah. It's like not a dryer.
It's like it totally is a dryer. and everything I own is laundry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah. I love losing stuff all the time.
All the time. It happens to all of us, if that makes you feel any better. Oh, yeah. You're not alone. I know you know that.
I'm sad that I'm not alone, though. I wish it was just a me problem and that I just have like a little goblin somewhere, just like probably my cat stealing things. She does that too, though, by the way. She loves to just grab thread and she won't. Well, sometimes she'll try to eat it, and obviously she's not supposed to do that, but she'll grab a spool of thread, she'll take it, and then she'll go into a corner somewhere, and then I won't be able to find the thread. She's a jerk like that.
Do you ever find little piles?
Oh, yeah.
After, I don't know, a couple weeks or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I was looking for that. There it is.
Yep. Yep. I have to hide certain things because I know she'll go after them. Those little quilter clips, like to hold fabric pieces together. She loves going after those. Ugh. She'll play with them. She'll bat at them. Mm-hmm. I lose a lot of them. So I just order them by the, like, just bulk orders.
I have so many of these that it doesn't matter if I can't find half of them.
I will use maybe a dozen of them. Mm-hmm. But I know they will be gone because Peach will take them and I will never see them again.
Right.
She's a little jerk. My cute little orange cat.
That's so cute. Her name is Peach.
Yeah.
Like, From
Nintendo, Princess Peach. And then I have two dogs. I have Daisy, also Princess Daisy, Princess Peach. And then Falcor, my baby boy. He's a Samoyed Husky Great Pyrenees mix with blue eyes, just big white fluffy boy. Sweetest, dumbest little guy.
Sweetest, dumbest little guy.
It's how we like our men.
You heard it here first, folks. So you did work in the costume departments, but you also were acting as Princess Zelda. Mm-hmm. Did you do any more acting besides the Smosh channel?
I did for a little while, but most of the stuff that I would get cast for were like commercials, things like that. Mm-hmm. I never really did anything really big per se. Like I was an extra or background, like say like on big movies like Moneyball or like mostly stuff in the Bay Area because that's where I lived at the time when I was acting. Ironically enough, I did very little acting in Southern California. I just didn't care to do it in Southern California. It was just like in at least at the time when I was doing it in the Bay Area, it was kind of in the same general vicinity of the Bay Area. You didn't have to go like across the county to go to an audition, and you actually had to physically go to these auditions.
Yeah.
You couldn't just film yourself and submit it.
No
or anything.
Self-tapes. Yeah.
No self-tapes. We didn't have those. Those would have been awesome. I would have saved so much money on gas. In LA, I tried it for a short while, and it was like on Actors Access, on Central Casting, like anything that I did an audition for, there was no guarantee. And like I was getting more auditions, but I was also losing more money. So I just kind of took a back seat on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. But, and I do miss acting. I grew up as like in theater. And so I loved it. But I do like comedy. I do like, working behind the scenes. I like singing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've lost my voice since Dragon Con, mm-hmm. so I don't have a singing voice right now. But yeah, it's fun.
Dragon Con is a beast of a convention.
Oh my God!
It's crazy.
It has changed so much.
Has it?
So much since the first time I went. And I didn't even go when it was little. I still went when it was still pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, like in San Diego. San Diego is a pretty big beast itself too. But Dragon Con is just, it's its own continent. It really is, because like for San Diego Comic-Con, it's all the gas lamp. Easy. You can walk around the gas lamp. Whereas like Dragon Con, it's kind of like all of Peachtree. It's like all of downtown practically. Mm-hmm. And it just, it expands over the, like, you have the three main hotels. You have the Hyatt, you have the Marriott, and you have the Hilton. And then all the surrounding hotels outside of that. And that's way big. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like way bigger than the gas lamp in, in San Diego. So
it bleeds into everywhere, I feel.
Yep. And, you know, San Diego's not a 24-hour con like Dragon Con is. Dragon Con, the parties don't stop.
No, never.
No, Dragon Con, it's great because it is a 24-hour con. It has a lot of everything that anyone could ever enjoy. It's by fans for fans. And I'm not trying to compare this to like San Diego or any other convention, because like the smaller ones are definitely lovable and wonderful, especially in their own way. And they're also super duper unique. Dragon Con is unique in the sense of there's just so much going on and you will miss out on things. And it's hard to it's easy and difficult to feel the FOMO with Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. But if you don't go, then there's all FOMO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's true. What cosplays did you bring this year?
I did. Oh, God. Okay. So last year, my friend Chrissy and I did Dommy Mommy, Velma and Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we wanted to continue that. And so we did Wilma and Betty Dommy Mommies. And
incredible.
Last year we had like Scooby snacks that we were feeding people and told them to get on their knees. And we fed them Scooby snacks. This year we did Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles.
Oh my God, yes!
We told them to get on their knees. And this was, like, in hindsight, this is not a great idea. It's fun, but we left messes and that was not okay of us. But really me, because I was the one really primarily doing it. But we would have them go on their knees and we would just dump we would dump cereal down their mouths. And they had a great time. Well, like, we always asked for permission, of course. And, like, if they wanted to do it. And they were – people are so eager for free food at Dragon Con.
That
and that's awesome.
True. Yeah. I would like to go on record to say that there should be Dommy Mommy versions of every cosplay.
Fuck yes, there should. Did you go this year?
No, I didn't. I actually haven't been to Dragon Con since like 2018, I think, or 2019 or something like that. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you should go.
I know. Every year I'm like, oh, I'll go next year. And
that's
every next year comes and I'm like, wait, I'm not ready. There's too much happening. But I'd like to go back soon.
Yeah, go next year.
Yeah, I would like to.
I'm going to be there next year, so I will go if it kills me, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can join my Dommy Mommy group, because I've had two other people that were Dare was our Dommy Mommy, Carmen Sandiego.
Amazing.
And she looked so good. I mean, we all looked great. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, Dommy, we need more Dommy Mommy groups. Please, please, please.
I agree. Yes. upvote from me. Would you say that Dragon Con is your favorite convention?
I would say it's my top three.
What,
for sure.
What are your other two?
I do love San Diego Comic-Con, mostly because like for the nostalgia, I've been going for so long. Let's see here. There are a couple cons that are just no longer around and they were my favorites, and it's so heartbreaking because they were like maker cons. Mm. Like they were super into like fabrication. And I love those. They were into education as well. Absolutely into that. As far as like current ones go, San Diego Comic-Con, Dragon Con are my – I would say they're my top two. If I had to pick a third one, maybe Fanime, because that one I've been to for a very long time as well, for like 20 years. Over 20 years. Holy cow.
Fanime. And I've heard such good things about Fanime, and I've never gone before. Really? I just moved to California from Florida, from the East Coast.
That's right, yeah.
Recently. I say recently because it feels recent, even though it's been almost 2 years now. Aww. Or maybe it has been. It's been 2 years now. So both times Fannie has been going on while I've been here, I have had other cons that I have had booked that I had to fly out for. Oh. So I couldn't go up to San Jose. It's near San Jose, right?
Yeah, it's in San Jose, San Jose Convention Center, which is like a state-of-the-art convention center. It's like, it's been there a long time, but it's the Bay Area. They have like the highest tech of things, and they're just impressive. They're always impressive, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fannie, I would say, because I've gone for so long, I would say I remember it more fondly way back in the day. I haven't gone in a couple years myself, but every time I go, I always have fun. So, yeah.
I've heard it's a blast.
Oh, yeah. That's also another 24-hour con. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, there's something about 24-hour cons. They're just so much fun.
We love them. I heard that it is a blast because of Park Con that happens after the real con.
Yeah.
There's like a little park across the street that everyone brings music to and alcohol, and they're all in costumes still.
And it's all kind of a free for all, and everybody just has a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, I agree. It's got the con spirit, right, of the cosplay community.
And it's an anime con, so there is more energy at anime conventions. There really is, because it's a younger crowd, so they're doing all kinds of fun stuff there. But the con itself is just, I don't know, like there's always a lot of really interesting panels. There's always something to do. There's a little bit of everything there. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost kind of like a very mini, very mini Dragon Con in a way. Mm-hmm.
That's how it sounds when I hear about it. I would like to go to both of them again. I need to find like an ounce of free time so I can start.
That is honestly how it is.
Again. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I never find the free time for anything.
We're all tired.
We're so tired. We're so tired.
This is the new podcast episode is just going to be us sleeping. It's like nap time.
Okay. There are streams that do that, right. And they make money.
They do make money. I saw somebody had sound alerts on where you could try to wake them up.
Oh, no. That's so mean.
I know.
I mean, as long as everyone's happy and into it, but still, my God.
Right.
Like you're finally dozed off, and then all of a sudden, like, you hear this honk, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
Torture.
I would be, I don't know. I think if I knew that I was sleeping live, I would be so scared to do
something embarrassing.
Something embarrassing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Okay. Fun fact about me, I have IBS. I fart all the time. It's great. In my sleep is probably when I do it the most. So if I'm going to be streaming while sleeping.
Like people would be into that, though.
They would. Okay.
There's a market for that, for sure.
There are some weird markets. Sorry, I shouldn't say weird because that sounds judgmental. But there are some different types of markets out there that I would probably not feel comfortable being part of. So let's just put that out there in the ether.
Right. Well, you could. Honestly, you could find
about anything.
About anything, exactly.
You just dig a little deep enough.
The internet is a wild, fantastical place.
Yes.
Speaking of Zelda being your first cosplay, kind of what got you into the hobby in general, you have an Etsy store as well, where you sell pieces for other cosplayers to build. A bunch of stuff. Can you tell us about your Etsy shop?
Yeah, sure. My Etsy store is called Hyrule Castletown, which is named after the Hyrule Castletown in Zelda. I primarily make Zelda stuff there. I have been trying to catch up to the games as far as like making things and providing them. But I'm also trying to make my own stuff, so it gets a little difficult. Usually, like when I make a costume for myself, I always make molds of it. Like the armor, the crown, like any hard pieces. And then I just sell it on my Etsy store. But I also accept commissions on Etsy. In fact, I've been in contact with a bunch of celebrities just via Etsy because they didn't know how to contact, like talk to cosplayers or costume makers or anything. They just, they see something that they like and they'll message me and they'll just be like, oh, do you have, can you do this piece? Or I have a friend that needs this kind of costume and this looks really similar. Can you make something like that? And then and it just goes on from there. Like they do like that I'm LA based because, you know, a lot of them are LA based. But yeah. But yeah, it's fun making costumes on Etsy. I don't really don't like Etsy, but unfortunately it is kind of the dominant platform when it comes to selling handmade stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah. Have you ever had issues with Etsy?
I have issues with their fees and certain programs that you can't opt out of.
I see.
Which sucks. But there's both good and bad with Etsy. As far as clients go, I've had maybe two bad clients. Let's see here. One of them... she ordered a crown from me, like, and I'm not saying this is recent. This was a couple years ago. She ordered a crown from me, and then 6-7 months later, she broke the crown herself. She broke it. She even said, like, oh, I broke this. I broke the crown. It was in my drawer or something like that. And, you know, I was rummaging through and I broke it. Can you make me another? And I'm like, okay, sure. That's no problem. She didn't want to pay for it, didn't want to pay for shipping. I'm like, well, if it was in transit, then obviously I would pay for it and I would provide that. But this was like 6-7 months later. And I always try to work with my clients like, okay, stuff happens, whatever. And it's just, it was a, I think it was a Breath of the Wild crown or it was a Ocarina of Time crown. Anyway, but I was going to just send it to her for free regardless. And then she had ordered something else and wrote a negative review and it became a whole thing. And I was just like, hey, what happened? Like, what's with the negative review? And she just said like, well, you didn't send it fast enough. And I'm like,
you didn't send it fast enough?
I didn't have to send it at all. And so, and then she broke it again and then had the audacity to ask me to demand that I replace that one, the one that I gave her for free.
You ended up giving her one for free?
I gave the second crown for free. And she...
You're kidding.
I was too nice.
This is crazy. I might have done that as well, actually.
Because like I don't want to make anyone angry. And I asked her like, oh, can you know, if you find this transaction satisfactory, can you please, you know, change your review and to reflect how you feel about it. She never did. She was an absolute nightmare of a person. She tried to get my shop canceled.
What?
She has a small amount of followers, like a few hundred followers. And there were people on that were part of her followers that were messaging my shop. And they were saying, hey, she's talking about you like this, and they were sending me screenshots of her stories of her bad mouthing me and saying like how terrible I was and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So Etsy doesn't let you block people, unfortunately. She was harassing me for a while. That was not fun.
That is crazy. Okay, let me recap that really quickly just to make sure that I got that right. So you were selling a crown on Etsy. Somebody bought it. A girl bought it. 7 months went by from the initial purchase date. She broke it and then had the absolute audacity to message you replace it with a free product. That is crazy.
And I don't mind too much. Like, I can understand why someone would think that, but like I hand make everything, so I would have to hand make it again. It wasn't like a this is just mass ordered from, you know, this is not an overseas product. This is something that I make, you know, in my shop. But she didn't treat it like it was that. It was just like she treated me like I was Amazon.
That is crazy.
And was just kind of vile.
But even let's say I buy something from, I was going to say Publix. There's no Publix here.
I know Publix, I'm from though.
Florida. Okay. Yeah. Let's say I buy something from Walmart. Or I don't know. If I am buying something from Logitech, like a mouse for my computer or a headset or something, and I buy it, and then 7 months later, I accidentally step on it and I break it. If I had the absolute audacity to email Logitech, call up Mr. Logitech himself, mm-hmm. and be like, hey, I broke the headset that I just bought, or that I bought 7 months ago. Can you guys send me a new one? The customer service would laugh at me.
They would be like, ah, what's your warranty? Oh, there isn't one? Oh, then you just gotta buy a new one.
Yeah, that's sometimes crazy. They'll work with,
sometimes they do actually work with you on dumb things like that. Like, you broke it yourself, just go get a new one. It's not hard. Like, if it broke on transit or something, then I can understand that I would totally replace that. But the audacity of some people. But she really was probably the worst that I had to deal with. And another client, and wasn't even really a client, it was just somebody who was just like, they ordered some earrings, because I'll sell the Ocarina of Time Zelda earrings. And they ordered it, and then literally 2 minutes after they ordered it, they messaged me and asked me to cancel the transaction. I was like, okay, no problem. That's not a big deal. Canceled the transaction. They got their money back, and they left me a negative review.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Some people are just, they're people on the internet.
That's crazy.
It's so crazy.
What possibly could they have had to say about you?
I messaged. They didn't say, they didn't write it out. They just left a one star. And I've seen it since. It didn't have, it had the thumbs down originally. And I've seen it since. There's nothing there. It's just a one star. So I'm just like, you could have, like, you asked me to cancel it. I canceled the transaction. And at the time, I don't know if Etsy's changed it since then, but at the time, even if you canceled a transaction for them, they can still leave you a review, which I think is bullshit. But thanks, Etsy.
It is bullshit.
Yeah. But I'm hoping it has changed since then. That was like years ago, though. That was quite a while ago. But for the most part, like, people are super duper sweet. Like, the Zelda community is super duper sweet. I love the Zelda community. Cannot turn my back on them, for sure.
Have you noticed that there are certain fandoms that are so sweet and welcoming?
Oh my god, yes. There are some that are just super high energy, and you love them, but it's like, I have to take you in small doses because you're kind of overwhelming me. Right. I love you, but oh dear. I would say like one of the sweetest fandoms, but they're super high energy, would be probably oh my god, not Hell of a Boss, although them too.
Hazbin Hotel.
Mm-hmm. I love them. They're so cute. They're so sweet. And I love Hazbin Hotel. They're very high energy, and they're really into singing, and I love singing, but I'm also like, okay, I'm gonna walk away from this for a bit so I can, I don't know, preserve. Maybe I'm just getting old.
I feel you.
It is a young crowd too. When it's a younger crowd, it's typically more high energy. But there are some groups too that are like also super supportive. Like, they want to help you, like, see you through your build, and that's super awesome. I've noticed that with certain groups that I'm not even part of, and I'm just like, this is really cool. I love that people are so supportive. Like, they'll share each other's like 3D printing files. They'll show each other's like tech packs. But then there are also the groups that are really, really tight knit, and I'm too afraid to approach them because maybe they're just like, they're too niche. And I feel like if I were to go into that group, I I don't know. I wouldn't say like, oh, I don't feel welcomed or anything. I would just be afraid to ask questions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say which groups because I don't want to start anything. I would just be bad.
I don't want that for you.
Yeah.
The bad groups are bad, but there are good groups I would love to focus on, like Zelda.
Yeah.
I've noticed that the Resident Evil fandom is incredible.
Oh, my God.
So welcoming and beautiful and awesome and happy and just want more content.
It's funny because there's so many inside jokes in the Resident Evil groups and the Silent Hill groups. And, you know, you just say it and then you just know. Like you just, oh, and then you're in. That's it. Yeah. It's like it is. You just have to have a pulse and then you feel like you're already a part of it.
Yeah,
it's
great. Exactly. Well, you also won Cosplay Melee, the sci-fi show. That's amazing.
Thank you.
What was the experience like being on a TV show like that?
I've never been on like a maker kind of show. Like there are some that have existed, like kind of like any cake decorating show.
Mm-hmm.
Face Off, kind of also definitely being one of them. Fashion Runway would probably be the closest one to that show. So I kind of had an idea of what they might be looking for as far as like ironically enough, they weren't looking for drama or anything like that. Although they would try to be a little bit like, oh, they didn't try to like pit anybody against each other necessarily. It was just more like they'll try to do a friendly competition between contestants and stuff. And so that was interesting to watch and witness. But it was a lot of fun. It was probably the most amount of fun, but also the most amount of stress I've ever had on any kind of project. I sincerely did not think I was going to win. I was like, I got so much negative feedback or just not positive feedback for the first round. And that because we had a cosplayer, we had four cosplayers per episode. One of them would get cut and they didn't tell us this. We just thought we were all going to compete all at the same time and go to the very end. Nope. One cosplayer was cut and it was so disheartening. And it was like, I don't want to be that one that was cut. Let's aim for that at least. And I didn't get cut, but I was definitely like second to last. And then just getting everything done. It was just like, just get it done. Just don't embarrass yourself. Just do what you can. And so I got as much as I could done. And then they also wanted us to create a story around the character we made. They didn't show any of that in the final cut, of course. And there was also, that was also an element that they don't show too. It's like the stress of building a character. And it was a lot of fun, but it was very overwhelming and very stressful. And I loved every second of it. So.
Right. Yeah. The high highs and the low lows together.
It's a mountain next to a valley.
Do you remember a specific moment on the show that you sort of overcame something and were really proud of what you did?
I would say completing it. And it wasn't even fully completed. And I had full intention of remaking that costume because we weren't allowed to keep our costumes.
Really?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to keep them. So
that's wild to me.
Yeah. So they kept them. And I'm just like, good luck, little buddy. That's held on together by hopes and dreams.
That's so funny.
But finishing a costume, especially one that you made in like 2 days, is sensational. It's a really, really wonderful feeling. Like you made something out of nothing. And even though you might not be 100% proud of it, it's still done. And you're done and over with it. You don't have to make it again if you don't want to.
A 3-day cosplay is already crazy, but like conceptualizing it, creating it. So for anyone who's not familiar with the show Cosplay Melee that was on Sci-Fi, can you give us like a recap?
Yeah, so Cosplay Melee was a competition, like a maker competition where you fabricated a costume from scratch. It wasn't any pre-existing characters. You had to make the character yourself and come up with an original design and then display it before a bunch of judges. And they would judge you. And if you won, you won $10,000. And if you didn't, then you still got a bunch of friends. And it was still a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. A competition show, you said earlier, like Face Off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I would argue, though, the specific types of shows like Project Runway or Face Off, where you are creating a garment, and I'm not taking away from the difficulty of those things, but cosplay is so all-encompassing, right? Where you are thinking of sewing, but you're also thinking of foam work, and you're also thinking of a wig or makeup or airbrushing or painting. And there's so many skills involved with cosplay. So it's kind of crazy to think that they would take that, such an array of skills, make it like a two-day competition.
It's wild. Yeah, like, I think they bit off more than they can chew. And I think they kind of realized that, like, starting into it. I judge a lot of cosplay competitions, so I kind of have a good idea of what judges typically look for. Although the judges on here on the show, I think only Leanna Vamp. Mm. She was the only like cosplayer who's judged competitions and knows about fabricating and what all the work that goes into. The other judges were less experienced in cosplay. And so you also have to think in terms of how they're going to judge. But knowing what they were kind of like looking into, like what they were looking for, you knew that you wanted to have something more diverse. You wanted, for the show, you wanted something a bit more flashy. You wanted something that was more large than life, something that was more attention grabbing, because those are the ones that usually get the most amount of favoritism, especially with competitions where craftsmanship is. And this was not a craftsmanship type of competition. It was more design, if anything. And so if you didn't have a knack for design, you would struggle. But as far as like fabrication, like I had like every single one of those cosplayers on each and every single one of those episodes was an amazing fabricator, was really, really wonderful and super talented. And they should give themselves a pat on the back. But design was not always as easy because not everybody, we would have themes and we would have challenges. And that could throw a wrench into your idea of whatever design that you had and how you were going to complete that design. Mm-hmm. And so some people didn't go with a very diverse costume or a very larger-than-life costume or a very attention-grabbing costume. Mm-hmm. And they wanted just to complete a costume. And that was my thinking. But I also am a speed builder and I can – oh man, don't look at that costume. Just don't look at the costume. It's poorly made. I did a terrible job craftsmanship-wise, but she got done.
She got done.
And for some reason, they've said I was the winner.
Was it true that you also had food poisoning during the show?
I did.
That's so wild.
What's wild is SKS Props. He was one of the... he was also one of the contestants, but on a different episode because they would shoot two episodes at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he was on a different episode. He also got food poisoning. I also got food poisoning. Not at the same time because we shot differently. But
was it the food that was there?
No, it wasn't the food that was there.
Things.
So how it was we were put in a hotel like next to where the studio was. Mm-hmm. And so the night before our first day of filming, they got us In-N-Out. And I've never had an issue with In-N-Out. I It, like, I could give or take In-N-Out, but it was In-N-Out and it was free food. And so I ate whatever I could. And that entire evening and into the first day of filming, I was just sick. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to just stay in the bathroom, but I kept my cool. I did what I could to stay on top of my game. Mm-hmm. I know my thinking suffered immensely because, like, when you have tummy aches or if you feel like you're gonna not, I didn't feel like I was gonna pass out. It wasn't that bad, but mm-hmm. yeah, I had frequent toilet,
but
times.
It was like a poison.
Yeah,
you were taking poison damage all yeah. day,
all day. It was not good. It was not fun. So, so yeah, I felt like I felt like I went through the ringer, and apparently, apparently I wasn't the only one. And so that he and I would exchange stories about that every now and then. And it was just like, yeah, and he also won his own episode. And we're like, yeah, despite us being poisoned, we persevered.
That's so funny. Very crazy. Maybe that's how you win. Maybe that's the precursor, in fact.
Yeah, you just fight for your life and hope you don't shit on camera.
right. Sorry. Exactly.
Or throw up on camera, in my case, but
either way, mm-hmm. you know, or do, you know, it's relatable.
Or do, maybe, you know, establish dominance.
Exactly.
Do what you can.
Exactly.
Life is too short. Shit on camera. This right. is not that kind
That's
of show.
Our new tagline, in fact.
Sorry.
Well, I have time for one more question. Okay. And with that question, I would like to know if you could give anybody your most useful crafting tip, what would that be?
So I often give the same advice, which is, you know, cosplay characters that you love, cosplay for fun, and it will not feel like work. You won't destroy yourself over a costume or over a convention or anything. It's usually my general tip, but like specifically, like if you want to get into fabrication, don't be afraid to explore and don't be afraid to ask for help. Lots of people, they're too afraid to ask for help because they think like, oh, I don't want to bother them. They seem so busy. I'm always super happy to help people whenever they ask for it. Sometimes I might be a little busy, but I do try to get back to them when I can. But there's also people who want to be able to learn themselves. And it's like, that's great, but you are going to waste so much money and so much time and energy if you do it this type of way that we've all done it and we've all wasted time and money and energy and all that. We don't mm-hmm. want that for you. We want you to learn it this way so you can grow from there and you can do whatever the fuck you want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, never be afraid to ask for help. The worst that anyone could say is no. And you know what? Being told no is great. You know, mm-hmm. Facing rejection is actually good for you. It's good for your character development. Yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions. Do it for fun. You know, work on communicating. I always tell people learn to communicate with others. Always really great, even though that's a very broad blanket statement right there. But yeah, make friends, have fun, cosplay together, make memories, choose people that you want to make memories with. Don't do it because you want to be popular. Don't do it because you want to be famous. If you get to that point, that's great. But you're going to find you can do it a lot longer when you have a great support team around you, when you have great heart behind your costumes, and you'll do it a lot longer by, you know, sustaining those long-term goals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm making sense now. Yeah. I've been coughing up a storm. So
You're making tons of sense.
Yay, pennies.
I'll tell you what I got from that. You correct me if I got it right or wrong, but I think I got it. Your main tip is to ask questions, mm-hmm. be curious, and treat others well and with respect. Mm-hmm. That way, you gain the ability to ask whether or not you're doing something right, mm-hmm. because that will save you a ton of time, money, and resources in the long run.
So you're really fucking good at this. You can like you can just explain everything I say. My ADHD
I got it.
Brain.
I have ADHD brain where I absorb a thing and I try to spit it back out best I can. But I will, my eyes will be going everywhere. Like I have the hyperactivity where I have to be like picking at like the yeah. grocery bag or something, but I will be paying attention mm-hmm. the entire time.
Yep.
So good. I'm glad yeah, I
no,
got it
no,
right.
You're good. You're great.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here today. If somebody is looking for you online, where can they find you on social media?
So on Instagram, you can find me under Jacqueline Goner. TikTok, Jacqueline _ Goner. TikTok, unfortunately, there's a spam bot or someone that took over my actual name and have been trying to scam my fans. And so I try not to post too often on TikTok, unfortunately, which makes me sad. But yeah, look for the blue check mark on Instagram, on Facebook, if you're an elder millennial like this old lady right here. I forgot it. Happy Go Jackie. What else is there? Threads is just my name. Blueski, also my name. I haven't done them in so long. It's so crazy. YouTube, Jackie Goner, because I like to switch it up, I guess.
Yeah, keep them on their toes. Yeah. Do you have anything that you are looking forward to right now? Anything we can watch out for?
Let's see here. I have a cooking show, not on my own personal channel. It's on the Cosmo Network. It's called Jackie's Kitschy Kitchen. I'm kind of a major goofball, like in real life. So I get to do whatever the hell I want in my friend's kitchen. And yeah, I bake things. I really mostly bake things. I'm making molasses cookies because I fucking love molasses cookies. That'll be probably next month's episode because I know this month we're taking a little bit of time off. But yeah, I've got the show there. I also have a couple conventions coming up. I have New York Comic Con coming up. I have LA Comic Con also coming up in a couple weeks. So I'll be there. If you guys see me, say hi. I will have a booth right next to Joni Rosas, which Yay. You should talk to her. She's fucking great.
She's coming the 25th, the day before LA. I snagged her before yes. the con.
That's so great. Yes. We like that. I've known her since she was just a little baby cosplayer.
Yeah.
And she was so sweet. She's still sweet.
She's still sweet.
She's still sweet. Like was so sweet. And now she's Sour Patch Gummy.
She was so sweet. She's gone downhill, Joni.
She's gone downhill, Joni. Joni, you don't know bad. No, girl. No, she's great. Her and Cole are amazing. They're wonderful people. And I get to be next to her. And I'm so excited.
Yay. So. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. I am happy that you got to come on and talk to me about your journey. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Yay. Thank you. So on a completely different note, fuck, marry, kill. EVA foam, Warbler, or sewing?
Oh, God.